Hi guys, Christina here. In this episode, Hugh and I miraculously got a chance amongst our very hectic schedules to catch up and get to know each other a little better. Like dental school, we joined the Dental Head Start team with 2 feet running, so it was fun to chill for a sec and in fact discover that we have quite unique journeys and experiences in dental school so far. We also talk about how we joined the Dental Head Start team and what we hope to achieve as new co-hosts. We are very privileged to be part of this community and look forward to supporting the Dental Head Start cause. We want to thank David and his team for such an amazing opportunity. Okay, on to the episode. Well, Hugh, it's nice to finally get some time to sit down and chat because I suppose we have been busy in our own lives. How are you?
Yeah, very busy. I'm doing really well, actually. It's been hectic. This year, I'm in DMD4 now, and it's been so hectic because we've started at a new hospital and just getting a hang of all of that, seeing our patients for the first time, treatment planning, all of them. So it's been super busy getting the hang of things, but it's been really exciting and I'm looking forward to the year. How are you going, Christina?
Yeah, I'm good. Well, we spoke about this a bit earlier. I started my degree at University of Newcastle and finally got into University of Sydney. So I finally got to see what Westmead was like. That was nice. Yeah, so that's exciting for me. I am now finally in University of Sydney, but like I said, I've sorted all that out, transitioned from one uni to another, and but going to take this year off to have my baby in May, June. So yes.
Massive.
A bit of a speed hump, like I thought I would, you know, be graduating within the next 2 years. But yes, there is a bit of logistics between the two unis. There's a few credits that didn't get transferred over, so I'll have to do those. But yeah, I'm pretty excited to start at UCID. It's a pretty cool uni. I'm really excited.
Nice. Well, excited for you next year, hopefully.
Yeah, I can imagine going on placement must be really hard at the moment. So are you living away from home at the moment?
Yeah. So I would tell everyone a little bit about like how I even got here in the first place. So I grew up in Perth originally, and then I moved to Melbourne to do my undergraduate there at the University of Melbourne. And then I got into Sydney University. So I've been like all over the country, kind of. I just need to hit up other cities. Now I'm at Sydney Uni. I've been here since 2021 doing dentistry, and it's been awesome. So I've been a bit everywhere, and it's been good meeting everyone and making new friends in all the different places. It is really hard being away from home though, but I've just really enjoyed it so far. So what was the question again? I'm in year four.
So your placement.
Yes.
Are you in Sydney or have they shipped you away?
No, I'm still around. So in fourth year, we're placed at one hospital predominantly, and we get sort of specialist clinics at different hospitals around Sydney. At least that's what it's for, Sydney Uni. So right now I'm actually placed in Sydney. So we're all over at all the different dental hospitals in Sydney. And it's been really good. So we've just started at my new hospital and we sort of switched from DMD3 to DMD4. And now I feel like I have so much more autonomy. The supervisors trust you more. And I'm just really feeling it this year because now I get to really dig my hands in, get to see heaps of patients and do some really exciting and hopefully more complex treatment this year. So yeah, it's been good, but very hectic. You're just living life right now, hey?
Yes, I'm trying to relax. I'm trying to do that, but I do miss all my friends from uni.
What was your journey like before this, obviously, leave? How did you get into everything, BOH?
Well, luckily for me, I didn't really need to move into state. I've stayed in Sydney. It's been a long journey to get into OHT, my degree, because I think at the very beginning when I finished high school, I did want to go into dental school and I did want to do OHT as a pathway to dental school. But when I first finished high school, it just wasn't for me. It was really hard to get into Sydney and I did want to get into Sydney. So in the meantime, I just worked in dental, and just because I wanted to work in dental, I just worked as an assistant and then started working as a front desk person, and then kind of just moved around and built experience doing supportive roles. I've been very lucky. I've worked for Dental for Windows and done some training there. Yeah, that was really good, just to sort of shake things up a bit instead of staying in a practice the whole time. And 14 years later, here I am in the degree. But yeah, I think it was for me, I think 14 years later, I think it took me 14 years because I think I was surrounded by the right people when I made that decision to go back to uni. So I think mine is of a unique one as well, because normally you graduate high school and you get straight into it. But for me, I think just didn't work out that way. And so I just worked in dental and finally decided to become a clinician. So for me, yeah, that's how my journey has been so far. And uni has been great. OHT at University of Newcastle has been great. However, the commute is an issue for me living in Sydney. So I decided to continue, just keep on applying for UCID. And I did finally get a spot at UCID, and then I fell pregnant.
How things work out sometimes, eh?
I know, it's exactly right. And I think that's good that we kind of touch on that, because we are perfectionists as dental students. We do like things going our ways. Well, not that I didn't want to fall pregnant, but we do like things to follow, an easy, smooth process. But it's just, yeah, so I will get back into it. I will get back into uni next year. But for now, I'm just going to do the podcast and stay connected with everyone that way.
Awesome. Lovely. Well, about the podcast, so how'd you get involved in the podcast in the first place?
Yes. So I suppose I think I started listening to it during COVID. And, I think that was like my huge podcast era, where I started listening to more stuff that wasn't music on Spotify, and found the podcast and realized, this is cool stuff. I am very interested in what they're talking about. At the time, because I was a practice manager, I would just listen to more of the team building stuff and the mental health stuff that really did, that had a lot to do with me, and the endo stuff. And so, yeah, that's how I fell into listening to the podcast. And then I just thought, I'd like to be involved. I think after maybe a year of listening to it, I think you guys, or David and Erica, had posted online that they were looking for an editor. And I just thought, well, I'm no editor, but I'm passionate about the work. So I just put myself out there and I just said, is there a spot for me to try and help? And I recorded a little video interview, and that's how I ended up with the podcast. And I started off as an admin assistant, I think, like you, Hugh, you did as well. And we're kind of just still working behind the scenes as well as we are also hosts. So yeah, that's been the journey so far with Dental Head Start, and it's been good so far. I've been really excited to sort of start connecting with people, and especially, I don't know, I suppose it'd be nice to represent the OHT community, the OHT students and hygiene students that are listening as well. Although our professions do overlap slightly, I think we do still go through the same challenges, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so too. The stress of seeing a patient is something only a few people may share, and we get to share that together.
As a student, I think, yeah, to sort of have that autonomy handed to you, it's a huge milestone. So, yeah, and decision-making, a lot of treatment planning. I mean, we still have to do that as well as OHTs. So, yeah, so that's what I'm hoping to achieve. What are you hoping to achieve with the podcast, Hugh?
I've been involved for a couple of years now, actually. I don't really remember when. I remember Erica sort of looking for someone to join the team. I joined maybe in DMD2, so around 2-3 years ago now. And I sort of did some admin. I did some social media, just been working behind the scenes, trying to balance uni with it. I just thought it was so fun to be involved in something different other than clinical. Being like a podcast, it's kind of random, kind of fun. It's really exciting. So I loved having that sort of side outlet, sort of being involved in dentistry from a different perspective. So that was really exciting. And now that I'm in fourth year of dental school, I guess it's sort of like a tradition that the fourth year or the final year student has a bit of a POV of dental student life. So that's me now, I guess. So I hope to just bring on some guests that will answer all of my questions, because I am so lost most of the time and trying to get my way through school. And it's exciting. I'm doing a lot of work, but there's so much more to learn. And I'm reminded of that every time I see a patient, and I'm just faced with so much of what do I do? How do I do it? So hopefully I can be the advocate for the dental students out there and ask all the questions that they need to ask, they want to ask, but have no one to ask them to. And I mean, I just need help for myself. So I don't know about anyone else.
I think something that I've learned, or something that surprised me about starting the dental degree, is that it's just your degree is such a small part of your career. It is like, I just felt that coming out of your degree, you know everything, and that uni is supposed to prepare you for every situation. For some reason, I just thought that. But I think something that I've learned recently is that it's just a snippet of what your career could eventually grow into being. So, and I don't know, have you felt that yet? Have you felt that, you know, even though you're fourth year and obviously well ahead of me in terms of finishing your degree, do you feel like there's still so much that you won't cover by the time you graduate?
Oh, for sure. I feel like everyone always says this to me. They're like, dental school teaches you how to be a safe clinician. Don't kill anyone. Don't do anything silly. But I think the real learning, the real exciting learning, comes when you leave, because then it's like, what do you want to learn now? What do you want to get good at? How do you want to be the dentist you want to be? And there's so many pathways and avenues. And I think through listening to Dental Head Start, I've seen that there's been people doing all different types of things in the dental field. And it's not just clinical. There's all these other options. And even in clinical itself, there's such a variety of things you could go into, be more passionate about, learn more about. So there's so much more. And I think the podcast definitely helped me understand that and realize that as well.
Yeah. What else surprised you about dental school?
Oh, I was having a conversation with my friend the other day, actually. And we were talking about how no one really knows what it's like to be a dentist until you actually get in and you actually start seeing patients and you actually do the grind. I've barely done the grind. I'm in fourth year of dental school out of my however long year career. But you really don't know what it's like to see a patient. You don't know what it's like to drill. It's all really surprising. Luckily, I actually enjoy it and find it really fun and exciting. But I'm just surprised that it's such a niche profession. It's so random. You're just like looking at people's teeth and their mouth, and you're doing random things in there, like drilling and pulling them out, or like putting little filling material into their nerve. It's very random, but it's all kind of surprising, because I really didn't have much of a clue what dental, like dentistry, was about in the first place. I mean, I went to the dentist as a kid and I got my cleans done, but that was pretty much my exposure. But now there's like such a world out there of all these little things in dental and dentistry in general. So I'm just surprised about it in general. Have you been surprised about anything?
Well, I think, yeah, partly, yes, the degree thing, like just, you know, understanding that the degree is just part of your career, like a small part of your career. And also for me, as I mean, someone who has worked already in dental, starting a degree, I think one thing that has surprised me, and I don't know, I would love to hear if anyone else felt this, as someone who might have started off as a dental assistant coming into a dental degree or OHT degree, is that if I've felt like I've watched the dentists I've worked with 100 times, a billion times, let's say. I've seen them do fillings. I've seen them do extractions. I've seen them do sutures. I've seen them do all that stuff. And then going in and holding a drill for the first time on a model.
Wild.
It was the weirdest thing I just thought, this is completely different. Like, I just thought, I've seen it a million times, I can do this, but it wasn't. That was the biggest thing for me. First year, give me a drill. I was super excited. I had a bit of, you know, confidence, too much confidence going in, because I thought, I'm a dental assistant, I can do this. It was nothing. It was nothing what I expected. I pretty much like always got to the pulp, or I got too close to the pulp, or overextended. And I just thought, my God, imagine me doing this in real life. Imagine my bosses having to do this in real life. This is, I think that was one thing that really hit me, was that if you come from a dental background and you're deciding to come into dentistry, yeah, just realize that it's completely different when you're sitting in the clinician's chair and not the assistant's chair. It's completely different. But it definitely helps. I mean, the assisting side of things helps, but it doesn't help you, you know, do the actual dentistry. You have to really practice and be exposed to all of that. That brings me to another question. What do you enjoy doing here? What do you actually do? What's your favorite dentistry?
Oh, my. Well, I haven't really done too much, like, clinical. Well, I don't know. I've done everything. I mean, I've done everything, but like, I haven't really fell in love with one thing. And I'm still very open to what I really find exciting. I think I go on like different weeks that I'm like in love with exos, or I go on different weeks, I'm like, oh, I'm kind of into endo. And then I go on weeks, I'm like, I hate endo, I want to cry. And then like fixed pros was really fun. Like drilling crown preps, like that was all really exciting. So I think everything was really exciting at points, but also other weeks I was breaking down because of them. So I'm not sure what I am in love with right now, but we'll see how this year progresses, what I get good at. I've got a few fun treatment lined up, so we'll see what goes well and what makes me want to throw up. We'll see what happens. Yeah. How about you? What do you enjoy at dental school?
For me, because we've obviously got a smaller scope than you guys, so far I have really enjoyed the restorative part of my scope. But, you know, I think I'm the same as you. So I come across something and I'm like, that's really interesting. Or I come across a perio case on DPR and I'm like, that is so interesting. I would love to see how this case evolves, and it has everything to do with perio and hygiene. So, yeah, but for now, where I'm at as a first year OHT student or transitioning student, I like restorative stuff. I like being able to restore teeth for the time being. But I'm learning a bit. I've been speaking to a lot of OHTs that have graduated and who have progressed in their career, and I've learned that my, like, early intervention children's, like early intervention in children's sleep, breathing, airways, all that is becoming a big, big sort of area that OHTs can help with. So I don't know, that's just recent. So yeah, that'd be cool. And now becoming a mum, that might be something that would interest me.
Well, that's so relevant now.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just very interesting to see, well, just to focus on child's development. So yeah, that's where I'm at. I was going to ask you, I'm so curious about like what your day looks like as a fourth year, because I only know what it's like as a first year, where it's a lot of theory, it's a lot of sitting back and lectures. What's it like as a fourth year?
Well, yeah, fourth year is much different to first year. First year, we were just, yeah, theory all the time, simulation, plastic teeth, that was it. Fourth year now, we're pretty much in clinic 4 out of 5 days a week, 3, 4, 5 days a week. It depends. We have one day of lectures, so we still do get a bit of theory kicked in there, which is nice to have a bit of a reprieve. But 4 days of clinic, usually one day of specialty clinic. So that could be anything from peds or exo clinic, or what else is there? Aged care, very random specialty clinics. And then for the majority of our time in the morning and the night, we're just seeing our own patients. There's different hospitals. So at my hospital, we're still assisting each other. So I'll operate in the morning, for example, see a couple of patients. And then in the afternoon in session, I'll assist my partner and they'll operate. So I think I really enjoy it because firstly, a lot of people don't get assistants in dental school. So I like having an assistant and I get to see, I guess, the cases that my partner does and how they would sort of approach different scenarios. So that's been very insightful, although I would like more clinic time, but it's been good though. So yeah, it's pretty much just clinic morning and then afternoon I would be assisting or vice versa. So that's sort of a day in the life of a dental student. And then we've got lectures on one day a week, but it's mostly clinic these days. So it's been really fun. Feels like full-time work, even though it's only two patients a day. I'm very tired, but we'll see how I last in this sort of career. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think your body adjusts to it.
Surely.
It eventually will adjust to it. And yeah, you'll always have an assistant. Us OHTs may not have an assistant, so you can count yourself lucky.
Yeah.
And that's something that I forget. I forget that you kind of have the support of someone in your degree that watches you while you operate in the morning and then you swap over and then you can have a little chat and sort of.
Oh, yeah. It's glorious. The amount of times I'm like, oh, have I removed enough or should I keep going or does this look okay? I think my partner gets pretty annoyed and fed up with me, but I assure you they do the same thing to me. So it's good to just learn off each other and see how we go with each other, how we both approach things differently and learn from each other. So it's nice.
Okay. And so now that you're fourth year, do you, like, I'm going to take advantage of the fact that you're a fourth year and I'm still a first year technically.
It's like I've, like, won some sort of medal or something. Yeah. Just for getting through.
I think so.
Okay, sure.
I really do think. First year for me was fun. It was challenging. I'm not going to paint it with rainbows and sunshine. I think it was challenging to absorb so much information. But now thinking back to the way you've progressed through dental school, I mean, is there anything that you would do differently to just make, I suppose, the experience maybe that little bit easier?
Yeah. I think you'd think after all these years of studying, so I've like been in primary school, high school, undergrad, postgrad now, you'd think you'd learn how to study like really effectively by now and efficiently. But I'm still making up how to write my notes for every lecture this year. No, it's, I think from the beginning, I love using Anki. So that's been my savior. From DMD1, I sort of got into making flashcards and I realized that the only way I can ever learn something is that if it's told to me multiple times, like over and over again. So I think Anki has been a lifesaver in especially anatomy. That helped so much and helped me sort of get a good understanding of anatomy because it's just so much memorizing of all these nerves, vessels, muscles, bones, everything. So Anki, I would get on top of that from the start. And I think another thing would be just to find friends that also doing sort of similar things to you and sort of team up and sort of get a group effort going. So one person makes the Anki cards for this lecture and then you make it for another. And then you sort of get each other's style going and you know what it's like. And then you have a whole bank of Anki cards. So I found that really helpful. I have like a couple of friends that we all sort of allocate what lectures we'll do and then we'll go from there. So
that is so smart.
Yeah. Well, people still do it on their own and I am very in awe of them because if I had to do every lecture on my own, I think I would, I wouldn't be laughing and smiling right now. I would be in on the brink, but other people are very powerful. So
yeah, I feel that was me. I was the one doing it on my own. I don't think I was, because I had to commute to the Central Coast for my degree. I wasn't obviously always there. Always obviously tried to make my way home as quick as possible after class so I wouldn't stick around for any socializing or any group stuff. So I found myself looking to flashcards and doing them on my own. And in fact, I did start using AI for my flashcards where, well, hopefully the university doesn't change policy if it is, but I was actually, well, it's just my own flashcards, so I suppose not, but actually, this AI thing was that it would read the notes that I typed during the lecture and then it would spit out flashcards and then it would also spit out questions. but you kind of have to work out the way you have to write your notes so that the AI could read it. So you'd have subtitles, you'd have titles, you'd have dot points. And once you've worked out that algorithm, it just spits out really good study material. I don't know, for anyone listening.
That's cool.
What's it called? I'll find it and I'll put it in the comments, in the caption. But yeah, that was pretty cool. I'm excited to get back into it because by the end of first year, I started getting a system. But I agree. I think if you find a group of people where you can talk to it, towards the end, I did have a group of people that I spoke to and helped. They really helped ease my nerves and anxiety going into exams and just being like, you know what, this is what I think you should do, or this is where I'm up to, or, you know, how can I organize my notes? It does really help having a group of people you can speak to. So yeah, I think that's something I would definitely do. But yeah, that creeped up on me because towards the second half of first year for me, that's when I think a lot of the anatomy had built up. So all my notes had just built up, and I wasn't revising. I was just, I'll go over my notes sometime later, but I wasn't revising. So yeah, it's true. I think that's a good point. Yeah, I would agree. I'll definitely get on top of that before it.
Yeah, get around it. The teamwork.
Yeah. So I suppose, what are your goals then for the rest of the year?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess my goal is to graduate. I've made it this far, so we'll see how we go, but get to the end, get to the finish line, pass all my exams, I guess get a lot of clinical experience done, get a lot of work in under my belt, just do as much as I can now, make mistakes now, I guess. And then I guess towards the end of the year, or I guess sooner rather than later, start looking for jobs and get a nice job lined up. I don't know. Yeah, that's pretty much my end goal for 2024, to graduate DMD.
Are you thinking about working private or public?
Yeah, I think, I honestly don't know, because public and private, they have I feel like this topic is just done to death, but there's so many pros and cons about each. And I'll just see what happens. These days, everyone's asking me, are you going to stay? Where are you going? And I'm like, I don't know. I just need to finish this degree first. So we'll see how we go with that. Yeah, let's just take it one step. Let's make sure I pull out the right tooth. So
yeah. Oh gosh, you'll be fine, Hugh. I think it's so true that uni does make you so hyper aware. You're just super, super aware of what's going on that you couldn't possibly take out from two. I think you'll be fine. But that's a nightmare.
Oh, let's not talk about it. Anyway, what do you think? Okay, so you're giving birth soon. That's massive.
Yes.
I guess that's sort of your next step. Yeah. I mean, your goal is to give birth, sure.
My goal is to give birth and start the journey of motherhood and survive.
Beautiful.
And then I suppose for me as a mature student, yeah, I'd have to sort of start looking into balancing study with a baby and family and friends, and which will be a unique journey. So yeah, my goal is to do that. But my goal is to really just stay excited about what is still ahead of me, because yeah, I think having other commitments, once you've had other big commitments and other responsibilities, uni can become almost like a chore. So I'm hoping that it doesn't feel like that for me. I'm hoping that that's something I'll still look forward to doing. But I mean, I've been in dentistry for 14 years. I don't think I'm going to fall out now. I just want to, I'm really excited to graduate when I do. But yeah. And yeah, I suppose it opens up a lot of doors for me in terms of us discovering what it's like being a clinician and a mother as well, and trying to see what that life is like. And because I think it's sometimes nice to humanize dentistry as a career, because it's not like we all want to work 7 days a week. We, you know, some of us do need to sort of have responsibilities outside of work. So yeah, that's interesting. I'm pretty interested about that. So
that's going to be massive.
It is. It will be.
Your mum era.
My mum era plus OHT.
Plus OHT.
Hygiene era. Student era. Now, how many people can say that they have become a mum as the same time as being a student?
It'll be awesome for you. It'll be hard. It'll be awesome. It'll be a wonderful journey, I think, I hope.
Oh, thanks, Hugh.
Let's hope to get some podcasts out by the end, by soon.
Yes. So we hope to get some more podcasts. There will be a few more reruns trying to sort of get our listeners, well, just to resurface some of the golden nuggets that Dental Head Start has been, you know, has stored away, because I think that's what got me listening and being motivated and being passionate about becoming a student. So hopefully that applies to other people too.
Awesome. Keen for it. It's going to be stunning.
Yeah. All right, Hugh. Well, look, I'll stay in touch and we'll keep on. I'll support you. I can provide you a supportive, you know, shoulder to cry on when you need to cry about your, I don't know, upcoming exam or whatever.
We'll see how we go. Anyway, thanks so much, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to the Dental Head Start podcast. I genuinely hope this is helping you become a better dentist. So if you like what you're hearing, make sure you subscribe on your podcast player. And I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go to social media and share something that you've appreciated from us with one of your friends. That's how the word gets out. That's how more people gain and benefit from what we're doing. And if you're a dental student or a graduate and you want to get a head start, go to dentalheadstart.com to find everything we're doing to help dental students become great dentists.